Well, isn't it good to be back in here? After 4 long months when we were worshipping next door in the atrium. And whilst we've been away, major things have happened in here. We've had the earthquake strengthening done. We've had the floors polished. I think we've got new lighting. So it's like a breath of fresh air to come back in here today. And I did want to say thank you to everybody who came along to the Working Bee yesterday and helped to prepare this space for our worship. So we did wonder how we would cope going next door, but we coped. And it was a little bit of a challenge at times, but we did it. Camping out in the atrium, but we had, of course, it was a little bit like being in the wilderness, but we did have running water, we had a working kitchen, we had electricity, we had toilets. So I like to think that St. Luke's went glamping, not camping. We went glamping next door. And we did manage to take some things with us from here, but not everything. So we could take our altar, and we had the flowers, we had the morning teas, we had all the important things of life, or we had music as well. But I think there were a few things that we missed. And I think for some of us, well, I think for everybody, there would be different things that we missed about this place. So it's good to be back in here today and see those old familiar things that have been missing from our lives for a short while. So for me, it would be the east window. I've missed the east window. And I've missed the sound of the organ, although we don't have it today, but I've missed that. And I've missed this wonderful roof that we have that reminds us all of a boat and that we're all in this boat together. I've missed that. And what else? I've missed the font. That's where 2 of my children were baptized, and there's been lots of other wonderful baptisms in here where our gracious and loving God accepts us into his family. I'm reminded when I look at the east window that the sun rises in the east, just like Jesus rose from the dead on the 3rd morning. And I'm reminded when I look at the ceiling of the boat. And also, what else do we have in here that we use on a weekly basis? Some we could take next door with us. The Bibles in the back of the pews and the prayer books that we are using today and use every Sunday. To me, they're all bridges. They're all bridges that help us to connect to God. They help us to experience God in this place. And a lot of them go back, and we'll be using them in the future as well. So they bridge time as well as our connection to God. And people can be bridges too. And the stories we read in the Bible help us to see God in the past and in the present. And today's Old Testament reading is from the first book of Samuel, the great prophet and leader of Israel. There are 3 main characters in the book. Thank you, Catherine, for reading it to us. We met 2 of them today. We met Samuel, and there's a character, Saul, who's the first king of Israel, and David we met today, I think, for the first time. So Saul was the first king of Israel and David the second. In today's reading, we met David for the first time while he was still a young man working as a shepherd in Bethlehem. Going back a little bit in the story, the Israelites were never meant to have a king. They were covenanted to Yahweh, and Yahweh is to be their only king. But the people got a little bit demanding. And they said that they wanted a king, like all the other nations they saw. They wanted a king. So Samuel was instructed by God to give them a king and let them have their own way. And he went and he found Saul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was tall and good looking, all the essential attributes for a king. And he was publicly anointed and made the first king of Israel. But unfortunately, he had huge character flaws, and he disobeyed God's commands. He was told by Samuel that God was going to remove him and raise up a new king who was humble and faithful to God. So God tells Samuel to go to Bethlehem, as we heard this morning, and sends him to meet Jesse and his sons from the tribe of Judah. And one by one, Samuel meets with the seven sons. None of them make the grade until there's only one left, and that's the youngest one, David. He's brought in to meet Samuel. He's glowing with good health and has a fine appearance and handsome features. But God, of course, is looking at his heart and says, "This is the one, rise and anoint him." So Samuel anoints him privately. Saul is still king, and David has to wait in the wings for a while until God removes Saul. David goes on to become a successful leader, overcoming Israel's enemies and restoring order. He wants to build a temple for God to dwell with his people again. God responds to this desire by making a covenant with David, promising to make his name great and to raise up a descendant from David's line whose throne and kingdom will last forever. And when Jesus is born in Bethlehem of David's line, it points very much to him being the long-awaited Messiah. And we, his followers, accept him as such. So King David is a bridge. He's a bridge between the Old Testament story and the coming of Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate bridge between heaven and earth, between us and God. He's fully human, fully divine, and the Son of God. And by his death on the cross, he has put right once and for all the rift that had developed between humans and God ever since the fall. He is the bridge, the great deliverer. When we pray in Jesus' name, we have access to God the Father that we never would have had if it wasn't for our relationship with Jesus. We acknowledge that Jesus is our way to the Father. Only in Jesus' name can anyone bridge the gap between a holy God and us as humans. And as humans, we too can be bridges. When my mum was very, very sick in the Countess of Chester Hospital, the doctor told me, "Your mum is too sick to go home for Christmas. You will have to bring Christmas into her." Well, that was a challenge. It was the last Christmas I ever spent with my parents, and I have to admit it was not a very happy one. But we did the best we could to capture some of the joys and traditions of our many happier Christmases. I now sing in a choir called the Whakaahuru Singers. You'll all heard me talk about this wonderful choir. And we take beautiful music, beautiful harmonies, and joy into difficult places. We go and sing in the hospital wings, and we go and sing in the dementia units all around Wellington. And we also do bedside sings for people who are dying. It's the highlight of my week, singing to people who so appreciate us going and singing to them. When we sing our familiar songs, things like 10 guitars and raindrops are falling on my head, those sort of songs, the residents absolutely love it. And I'm amazed that the music that we take to them can ignite parts of their memories that are long gone. We are human bridges, and we make connections with them through the singing. One song we sing is called Bridges, and it's based on an Aotearoa psalm by Joy Cowley, which I will share with you now. There are times in life when we are called to be bridges. Not a great monument spanning a distance and carrying loads of heavy traffic, but a simple bridge to help one person from here to there over some difficulty, such as pain, grief, fear, loneliness, a bridge which opens the way for ongoing journey. When I become a bridge for another, I bring upon myself a blessing, for I escape from the small prison of self and exist for a wider world, breaking out to be a larger being who can enter another's pain and rejoice in another's triumph. I know of only one greater blessing in this life, and that is to allow someone else to be a bridge for me. And I'll leave you with this thought. How can you be a bridge for someone this week?
Let us pray for the church and the world.